So the theme for April is resistance, and as is my normal practice, I was gathering all the material I could find in relation to resistance, trying to find a way to craft a few messages that I could deliver during the month. It's a very broad topic, and so I ended up this morning saying, well, I needed to kind of have an overview of resistance and what it means in context of Unitarian Universalist faith. Today's story for children of all ages presented a powerful and a positive image of one person mobilizing a mass movement to resist injustice. I think that story is a good introduction to our theme for the month. But having said that, I think we need access to more stories about Canadians who resisted injustice. A few weeks ago, we told the story of Viola Desmond. And we could and should be telling our children about Louis Riel, about Dr. Henry Morgenthaler, about Dr. Lotte Hitchmanova. And here in Nova Scotia, the stories of Donald Marshall, and the story of the burnt church crisis. And again, that's a crisis I know very little about. I just came across it last night preparing for this, and I thought, I need to read more about the courage of people here in Nova Scotia to resist. There are no shortage of heroic Canadian stories for resistance, and we need to tell those stories for ourselves and for our children. And those stories are important. They're inspirational. But in our daily lives, resistance rarely, if ever, rises to the height of these historic, culturally celebrated events. And while resistance in our daily lives doesn't make headlines, it is the stuff of a life well lived. Resistance is a matter of exercising our willpower to refuse to accept or comply with something. It's an attempt to prevent something by action or argument. To resist is to take a stand in opposition to something. Resistance is part of living a good life. If you resist nothing, then I suggest you're not engaged with life. Our faith tradition, Unitarian Universalism, calls on us to resist injustice, the kind of call that Cesar Chavez so effectively responded to. We often say that the purpose of our church is to bring more love and justice into the world. And that requires that we resist the powers that would oppose this goal, usually for short-term and personal gain. But resistance has many facets and many complications. And resistance isn't always a virtue. Knowing what to resist and how and when to resist are the key elements in living a good life. Even more difficult is determining what should replace the things that we're resisting. It's one thing to resist. It's another to have a vision and a plan that will work for a better world. For example, the current federal government has so far been able to avoid its commitment to replacing its first-past-the-post election promise. And it's been able to do this because the general public, I think, is still wary about what would replace it. And that caution is maybe well-founded, maybe well-placed. It just means we need to think more about what the next steps are going to be. For every force, there's an equal and opposite force. Those calling for change and resisting the present perceived injustice are confronted by those resisting the change, motivated by a perceived risk. This morning I'm going to talk about some of the less dramatic aspects of resistance in our lives, but aspects that are critical to our spiritual growth as individuals. I think the most important kind of resistance when we're talking about our own spiritual growth is resisting our natural impulse to play it safe, to avoid potential conflict. We each have an inherent desire to avoid change, to resist change when it comes to our own behavior. And the theme of resistance for the month of April follows our theme for March, which was simplicity. And you may remember that last month when I was talking about simplicity, I explored the idea that our desire for simplicity, or simplicity in our lives, sometimes can be an excuse for disengaging from life. Because life, and particularly the part of life that involves human relationships, is often messy and complicated. Sometimes we simplify our lives by isolating ourselves from our neighbors when we really need to engage for the benefit of our neighbor, and more importantly, for our own spiritual growth. If we're on a journey of spiritual growth, we must resist hiding from the messiness of life. We can be hiding from the messiness of life in order to maximize our own comfort, which I would argue is a bad thing. But we can also be hiding ourselves to protect ourselves from despair. Withdrawing from active engagement while still worrying about the situation can exacerbate our despair. If you're living on the edge of poverty, or the edge of energy, you have no ability to resist. And like the migrant field workers, you can be exploited. And so resisting despair becomes another challenge for our spiritual growth. Unfortunately, or fortunately, many of us are carrying burdens that are well within our capacity to cope. We have enough reasons for joy in our lives to sustain us in the face of our problems. But the ratio of joy to despair in our lives varies from person to person and from time to time. For all of us, for some of the time, and for some of us for all of the time, resisting despair is not easy. This is a place where the theists among us have an advantage. A belief that there's some purpose that transcends our experience of life, no matter that it's impossible to prove that point, no matter how inarticulate we may be in describing that transcendent mystery. Nevertheless, that belief can strengthen our resolve to resist and to overcome despair. But theists and atheists, at least those who attend UU congregations, both have a belief in the transcendence, a purpose in human life that transcends the evolutionary imperative to survive, better yet, to dominate the landscape. We are called to promote love and justice. And it matters not whether that call is the result of a transcendent power that some would call God, or whether that transcendent power emerged from the universe in the process of human evolution. Whatever the source of the call, we're called to resist. Resist hiding from the messiness of the world. Resist despair in the face of the messiness of the world. Certainly, you do not need belief in a benevolent force behind our experience of life to avoid despair, but it does, however, make it easier. Viktor Frankl has said that it's really in our hands. Life is never made unbearable by circumstances, he said, only by a lack of meaning and purpose. And behind that statement is the realization that it's up to us to supply that meaning and that purpose. So to resist despair, we must give meaning to our lives. And the only sure way to give meaning to your life is to help somebody else. This may be through a direct person-to-person contact, or it may be through the creation of something like music, something that benefits other people. But I think it always comes back to helping others in some way. There are times in our lives when we're not in any position to actively help anyone. Unfortunately, such times for most of us pass. But it's true that even in those times, we can be a source for others, for meaning in other people's lives. For some of us, it's hard to accept help from another person. But if you can realize that you're helping that other person by giving them that opportunity to find meaning in their lives, it closes the circle. The help we're able to give may just be as simple as a friendly smile, a steadying hand, an attentive ear. We all have gifts to share. There's another major aspect to resistance, and that's the element of self-discipline. The Christian litany of the seven deadly sins, pride and greed and lust and envy and gluttony and anger and laziness, provide a pretty comprehensive list. Overcoming or resisting these problematic human pitfalls requires self-discipline. And arguably, we never overcome these character weaknesses, but we can develop our self-discipline to a level where we can choose to resist temptation or intentionally control our instinctive reactions. The same people who gave us the seven deadly sins provided us with the antidote, the seven virtues. Reason and foresight, justice, restraint, courage, faith, hope, and above all, love. Cultivating those virtues in our life helps us to resist those seven deadly sins. While I'm at it, here are some other things that we should resist. Othering. Seeing others as somehow fundamentally different and less deserving than ourselves. Resisting our ego, the need to satisfy our position, and resisting that instinct to hate. Hate was a word that was banned in our home when we were raising our daughters. These last items are kind of a personal list, and each of you with some reflection could identify things within you that need to be resisted. Some people seem defined by the things they resist. It can go too far. They're so convinced of the righteousness of their position that other important aspects of their lives get completely ignored, and they have no time for tact or relationship building. The psychiatrist Carl Jung wrote, "What you resist persists." So, is it possible that your resistance is the source of the struggle that you are in? Would the fight end if you stopped fighting? Would the wall fall down if you stopped pushing on it? In such situations, it takes great courage and support to stop resisting and accept that things are not going to work out the way you had hoped they would. In cases like this, it helps to have friends you can trust. To tell you when you're being consumed by your own obsession. But sometimes, our obsessive behavior drives away the very people that we need to help us to see our obsession. So I've been discussing resistance as a reaction to specific injustices or conditions. Here's a more creative way to look at resistance. What would happen if you saw praise and joy and the creation of beauty as your primary source of resistance? Another writer has said, what if the world needs your praise as much as it needs your picket signs? What if it needs the creation of beauty as much as it needs the elimination of injustice? In this scenario, resistance becomes a creative force instead of a reactive force. This is a way to create meaning in your life, to avoid despair by creating beauty. In the final analysis, resistance is an essential act of willpower in the context of a life well lived. Don't just accept what you're given. Don't hide from the messiness of life and relationship. And above all, never despair. May it be so. Amen.